I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1%. I'm excited today to have an unbelievable entrepreneurial guest with me on the show. His name is Dan Kuchel, and he is a husband, a dad, a serial entrepreneur as myself, and also an angel investor. Dan has started and built 11 companies, his first in 1992. He got started in the direct mail industry, working and consulting for health clubs, as well as Dan has been on many radio and TV shows over the years, including some of these as NBC, Spike TV, History Channel, ESPN, and more. He is definitely an expert in helping other people build and grow their companies. In fact, after selling two of his companies in the late 2000s following a health scare, Dan now spends his time working with fun projects, helping Joe Polish, a good friend of ours, and Genius Network at geniusnetworkevents.com. Dan is a servant and a leader that leads by coaching, driving, execution, and teamwork. And what that means for you, it'll convert more leads, generate more sales, and improve your profits for you and your business, as well as create a greater impact and contribution in the world. Dan, I want to welcome you to Making Bank.
It's awesome to be here, Josh. That guy sounds pretty cool, by the way.
Every time we get done with bios, everybody's like, hey, man, that's awesome. I love that person. So that's exciting. Dan, no, I'm excited to have you on the show today, just interacting with you over the years and everything, and just understanding and learning, you know, who you are and what you've done, how you've overcome certain challenges in your life is definitely someone I wanted to connect with and be able to share your story on today's show.
Yeah, well, it's an honor, Josh, and I feel like we're kindred brothers. You know, I know you work in nutrition, you've had work with health clubs, right?
Yes,
yes. You work with trainers. So, I mean, you had a computer software business. So it's like both of us have had this serial entrepreneur fire and spirit inside of us.
And then we both have the great haircuts.
And, yeah, we got the perfect hairline.
Oh, awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about, how you got started as an entrepreneur. I mean, were you one of those guys that just started, you know, as a kid and just having all these different little side projects, or did it kind of happen later in your life?
I would say it's a little bit of both, Josh. The reality is I got really pissed off because my family struggled.
Okay. Right?
As a kid, you know, my dad worked for a big auto company in Detroit, the biggest one in the world at the time.
Yeah.
And I watched him get laid off about 9 or 10 or 11 times. Wow. And there were times we were on welfare.
Sure. Right?
And for me, walking through a grocery store aisle with food stamps as a kid and getting laughed at and humiliated and embarrassed, it was just something I knew I never wanted to do. And so then my dad, during this time, he also he was a fighter. So he started a couple businesses, but they just didn't pan out,
okay,
right? And I saw certain things. My dad introduced me to personal development when I was 10.
Oh, wow. Right? That's awesome.
I attended my first clinic, and I remember it was a baseball clinic, actually, for coaches. And the one thing I still can remember, I can picture the page in the book from that clinic when I was 10. It talked about positive mental attitude and how it's 90% mental attitude, whether it's sports, baseball, or life, right?
Sure.
And I believe that to be really true. And then my dad encouraged me. My dream as a kid was to play pro baseball. I thought that would be my way to get my family out of the – I grew up in the inner city of Detroit, right? Literally.
Right, yeah.
And I thought sports would be a way for not only me to get out of the city, but also to help get them out of the city. And so as time went on, my dad encouraged me, saying, oh, if baseball doesn't work out, if you just apply that same focus and desire that you do at baseball – you'll be successful at anything. And he introduced me to my second book when I was about 15 or 16 called Mentally Tough by James Lohr, How to Apply Sports Psychology to Business. And I was fascinated by the psychology of mental toughness and about how most of this is a mental game,
right,
when it really comes down to it. And then I got introduced to Tony Robbins, of course, in my late teens. And boy, the game was over from there, then Tom Hopkins and a bunch of others. So that was the starting point. My sister introduced me to a direct mail, direct marketing company in the late 80s.
Okay.
And I worked with it part-time while I was going to college, right?
Sure.
And I got so fascinated, Josh, by how someone could take print, put it in the mail, And people would respond, not like years from now, but today. And they'd give you money. And I was fascinated by that, how that could happen. And so I started studying copy and copywriting and messaging and different delivery and mechanism. This is back when you would actually have to put it on paper, put a postage stamp, right. Go down to the mail house, right? Deliver it, make sure you had the right list segments. So that was the start. And then I started my first company in 92. Fast forward today, 11 companies later, and now helping Joe with Genius Network is a real treat.
That's awesome. And, you know, the really cool thing is, as you were a kid, you started having these different seeds planted from your dad along the way.
Yes.
And, you know, and being introduced to different books to help with your mindset and, you know, how you wanted to develop yourself. I know at 13 or 14 is when I first read Limited Power with, you know, Tony Robbins. And, you know, that was just a whole game changer, and just studied and applied it into my life over the years. And
yeah, I think the biggest thing I got from Tony, and I've heard you talk on some of the interviews you do when you're a guest about matching and modeling and how important that strategy is,
sure.
Right, for us to use. Find the people who have the results we want, do what they do, and we can get what they've got. And I know you're a master at that, and I'm still working at it really hard.
We always are.
Yeah, sometimes in some of my 11 companies, you know, what that means is also there's been some failures along the way.
Right.
Unfortunately, I matched and modeled maybe the wrong model.
I've had that, yes, same experience myself. So I know along your way you had a health, pretty major health scare.
Yeah.
And I guess tell me a little bit how that relates to growing and running a business and, you know, how that kind of made a transformation in your life.
Wow, yeah. Short version of it is I started building up a couple companies in the early 2000s. And I'm your typical type A personality that I only know one speed, and that's full on.
Right? Right.
And, you know, when you're in your 30s, you think you're invincible. And so I was going at this pace. I was working 20 hours a day, most days, 6 days a week, building my companies because I was just passionate about it. I had a wife at the time, and I had kids in the late 2000s. And 2 weeks after my son Kyler was born in the late 2000s, Josh, I woke up with chest pains.
Okay.
And I ended up getting myself to a hospital just for a precaution, I thought. And then they hooked up some tests and all hell breaks loose. I end up in the hospital for 4 days. I have the surgery. I had to sign a disclaimer. It said I had one in X chance of dying on the table. And it really freaked me out. I mean, it was a huge wake-up call.
Sure.
And essentially, thankfully, it was a false alarm. Overall, but what I had done is I burned myself out for about a decade. I was a workaholic, right? And the Joe Polish calls that the respectable addiction, right?
Yeah.
And I'm addicted. And like a lot of entrepreneurs are addicted of achievement and accomplishment and building and creating things. And for me, Josh, what happened was in that hospital, I went through a pretty significant thought process. You know, there's the book Death and Dying by Kubler-Ross.
Okay,
there's
sure.
Six stages or seven stages of Dabdar: denial, anger, bargaining, anxiety, anger, and then you've ultimately get to acceptance and a response.
Sure.
And I went through all of those in like that night after signing this disclaimer. I wrote what I thought could be my last will. And then I got on the other side of it going, okay, when I come out of this, I'm going to make some significant changes in my life.
Sure.
Right. And do things a little bit different. That set the stage. And about 2 years later, I sold my companies, gave me a chance to work on my health. I'm about over 60 pounds less weight today than I was then, right? And I've kept it off for years.
That's awesome.
I feel really blessed that I've been able to be really present, not only with quality time with my kids that people talk about,
sure,
but quantity time with my kids. And that's something for me that was more of a priority than working 80 hours a week. And, you know, that's where I didn't want to be one of those dads, Josh, that when someone said to my kids and when they're in their 20s or 30s, well, what are you proud of about? Oh, he's really great at business.
Right.
But I never saw my dad. Right. I didn't want that. So for me, I sold the companies. It gave me some freedom. It gave me some real opportunity to investigate what did I want. And ultimately, every decision I make today, and I know you've got to go to a break here in a second, every decision I make filters through three things. This is what came out of that process. What do I want? Not what do my kids want?
Sure.
Wife, I had 175 employees in those companies, right? We're doing some pretty big things, but what do I want? Number two is what do I stand for personally? And number three, who am I really at the core? Not the labels of CEO, executive, dad, husband, but who am I as a person, an individual? And that today is what fuels my decision making on working with fun projects like working with Joe and Genius Network and other things.
Awesome, Dan. Yeah, I definitely, can you stick around for a few minutes? We just took a quick break and would love to come back and dive into a little bit more into that.
Awesome.
I am Josh Felber. Welcome back to Making Bank. We've been speaking with Dan Kuchel, who through a health, health scare in his life, as you know, after building and working multiple businesses, putting in 20 plus hours a day, was lying in his hospital room and came up with these three questions that he asks himself on a daily basis. What do I want? What do I stand for? And who am I? And I think these are three important questions that we can all ask ourselves in any type of situation that we're going into, any type of business or any type of project, and see if that it really aligns with who we really are. Dan, welcome back to Making Bank.
Awesome, Josh. Glad to be back.
Well, tell me a little bit. I know you were talking about right before the break, one of the reasons that you sold your businesses, you know, after the health scare, and one of the things that you really decided was to come back and, you know, make sure you were present, you know, with your family and your kids. And I always see, you know, you're posting a lot of, you know, different photos and things like that, and your, you know, different fun things that you're doing with them and funny dance videos. And
I've gotten famous for that dance video in our little circle.
I'm surprised it didn't beat Sean Stevenson's viral video out.
Yeah, there you go.
But tell me a little about, you know, what do you do, you know, to make sure, you know, that you are present? Because I know that there's so many distractions that we have, and, you know, you know, as entrepreneurs, we're worried about our business and different things are happening. Sometimes it's just hard to shut off.
Yeah. Well, first of all, for me, Josh, it's not always easy, right? You know, I'd be misleading you or anybody we'd be talking to today, your listeners and viewers, if I said, oh, I've got this all figured out. I have to work really left to my own devices. I'm a mess, frankly, as an entrepreneur. I chase all kinds of opportunities. I get myself distracted in a lot of ways, right? I love to build, create, and grow things. And sometimes they're not the gold coins, right? And what, you know, one of the things I've learned from Joe, in fact, part of the reason I decided to sell my companies, I heard Joe say something at one of the Genius Network meetings that he says, be willing to destroy anything which is not excellent, right?
Right.
And in order to have a breakthrough, you've got to be willing to break something. Now, I don't necessarily recommend people go the exact path that I went to do that, because I think there's probably an easier way, a more elegant way to do it. But for me, that's how it worked out overall. And as I look at my life, you know, there's a great book I read recently. I think it's Marshall Goldsmith, Triggers. You know, he said there's four stages we go through and change. One is we create. Number two is we preserve. Number three, we eliminate. And four, we have acceptance, right,
sure,
in that thing. And I look at, you know, what you do or what I do, Josh, we choose everything that we get. So for me, I decided, what did I want? Is I wanted, number one, to be a great husband and dad, right?
Right.
First, more than even an entrepreneur. And so I don't want to give my wife and my kids leftovers, right?
Sure.
Although, you know, there are certain priorities in building and creating entrepreneurship wealth and building and growing a company, that there are trade-offs that you have. But I build rituals into my day really to protect myself. You know, those rituals, like when I woke up this morning, I was up about 5:15, which is typical for most days. I get up and have my, you know, call it, you know, Tony Robbins languaging, hour of power.
Right.
Right. For me, it's a time to work. You know, I work out, I exercise, and I'll either do circuit, you know, or like a fit body boot camp type workout or cardio or both. Right. There are very few days a year that I actually take off from exercise.
Yeah.
Right. Literally less than 20 days a year do I take off. It's that part of my ritual today. The other part is meditation, right? I like to meditate for a few minutes each day, each morning as part of this, and then writing. I think for me, one of the things that really stimulates and I think helps us think better is putting pen to paper and putting our thoughts down. So I do, you know, whether you call that journaling or just writing or free thinking, for me, those three things start my day. And then a couple days a week, I like to close my day with certain rituals, which are, you know, my kids and I, we have a little exercise we do, Josh, where we ask each other, not every night, but we ask these series of types of questions that are the foundation. What am I grateful for right now? Yep. Right? What am I happy about right now? What have I done well today? Because for me, I'm someone, as an entrepreneur, I don't know if you can relate or as you're watching or listening, you can relate, but I'm someone who had a tendency to beat myself up a lot. I truly, when I was about 5 years old, I remember going into the photo studio and they asked me to smile. And I said, I don't know how to smile, right? So I also work with happiness. And for me, it's something I have to work at. Gratitude. You know, I believe that you can't have gratitude and fear at the same time. So to me, gratitude is probably the number one strategy that we can look to implement and install. So what am I grateful for? What am I happy about? What have I done well? And then what mistakes did I make? So instead of shying away from mistakes, leaning into them and embracing them, and then what did I learn from them? Those are five cornerstone questions that my family, my wife, my kids, we ask each other on a regular basis as part of our rituals. And then usually a couple days a week, we close the day with a walk, you know, down to like the coffee shop or get a nice tea or something like that. For me, it just slows everything down. It also puts me, I've learned that's a different type of meditation, but for me, that's really important to slow things down, and it helps ease my mind, put me in a more peaceful state so that I can sleep better at night instead of the 2 to 4 hours of sleep, which I did for a decade. Now I'm regularly 6 to 7 hours a day, which I'm really, really grateful. So those are a couple. Definitely. And there's more, but those are a couple of the most important things that I've done to make the shifts to be more present in my life, with my wife, with my kids, and even, you know, in our conversation here and really being connected.
No, and I think that's, you know, really awesome and important, you know, as entrepreneurs. And I know a lot of people that are watching this, you know, can, you know, relate to that. And it's just, you know, how do you really find those pieces and, you know, be able to, you know, shut that off? And, you know, it is hard. And I know one of the things I've tried to do is just kind of separate where my phone is from where the rest, you know, the family is and things like that. Just, you know, to really stay focused and be able to do things, and whether it's at dinner or whatever it may be. So I think that's awesome that you've been able to create this, you know, routine that allows you to do that. And I think, you know, as entrepreneurs, if we have that and we have that process, you know, along the way, it really allows us then to be able to engage and then have a day that flows, you know, how we want it to.
Yeah, and you know, another thing too are questions, right? You know this as well as anybody. The questions we ask ourselves ultimately determine our destiny. And you know, again, going back to the book Triggered, one of the shifts in question to create active questions versus passive, his strategy, I believe it's again Marshall Goldsmith, is did I do my best at, and then fill in the blank whatever you're working on, right? Did I do my best today at gratitude? Did I do my best today at being my best physical self? Did I do my best today being a husband? So, and it's our own self-rating in an active way versus the comparison. The biggest problem I think all of us get into, at least for me, maybe not you or your listener, but for me, is comparing myself to others.
Sure.
Right? In this comparison game. And so this helps us stay present by having this active first-person approach. Did I do my best at? And you know, that's another strategy that I've incorporated that's been a big help.
No, I think those are definitely awesome strategies and questions, you know, that we can all ask ourselves, definitely, if you're not doing that. So, guys, make sure you guys have a pen and paper out and you're taking notes on this, rewind, whatever you need to do. You know, Dan is giving you some really insightful information, some action steps for you to start improving your life if you're not already doing these things. So Dan, tell me a little bit about what's the number one strategy from the 11 different companies, you know, that you've run and started and everything, the number one strategy for growing a business?
Wow, that's a great question. Is there just one?
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, Jim Rohn's quote, right? Your company will only grow to the extent you grow.
Sure.
Right? Is something to really take hold of. Now, my belief is that you can compartmentalize a company and personal into 6 categories each. And so, you know, as you're watching or listening, I encourage you to write these down. And I know through Josh's resources, you can go deeper with these. But in business, you've got the ability to sell. So your ability to sell or influence. You've got marketing, right, as the number two. Number three would be productivity, right? Number four would be emotional mastery or mindset. Number five would be leadership, right? And I'm missing one here. And then six would be the ability to recruit or hire.
Sure.
right? So, you know, the old Henry Ford quote from Think and Grow Rich, you know, when they were had him on trial and they said, you know, you're an ignorant man. You don't know your accounting. You don't know your sales. He said, well, I just push this red button on my desk and I can get all that information. I don't need to know that myself. I just need to know who the expert is on my team that can help me get it. So it's not about us having to master those six, but it's us having the ability to have mastery in our companies of those six. Sure. And having the best talent and the best capabilities around those six layers. Now, personally, I believe it's six key areas as well: mental, physical, social, spiritual, emotional, and financial.
Right.
And the first five, when you get mental, physical, social, spiritual, emotional in order, the financial has a tendency to take care of itself, right?
Sure.
And so that would be a framework to think about. The other part, I think, Josh, you know, I'm kind of rambling here, but there's a big misnomer, and I heard Joe first say this about 10 years ago. There's a big misnomer that there's people misunderstand that there's no correlation between being good and getting paid, right?
Right.
Because how many guys do we know, like in your, you know, doing what you're doing with your wife, with your health business, right? You know, your software company you had when you were younger, right? Or your health business and fitness, working with clubs or trainers. How many great trainers and great exes did we meet that they couldn't sell or market themselves out of a paper bag? They were they were terrible. And I've been terrible. I've been more terrible than I've been good, right? And I'm still working at it and getting better.
Yes.
But there's no correlation between being good at something and getting paid. So we're not in the business we think we're in. We're in the marketing of the business we think we're in. So if there was one capability or one skill, I would say it would be to develop better marketing, which is really just storytelling or building around a story for what it is that you do. And the great lie that we think marketing and selling is the same.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Marketing is what we do to get people on the phone or face to face with us. Right.
Yes.
So they're pre-positioned, pre-motivated, pre-qualified, pre-interested and ready to do business with us. And selling is what we do when we get those people in front of us. Right.
Yes, sir.
That's, yeah, and so, you know, those are a couple key things there that I think if I had to start all over again, I'd make sure to be honed in on those couple ideas.
And I think that's great. And one of the things that you did bring up was marketing, and you've been around it, you know, 10 plus years, and direct response, and direct mail and everything. What is marketing, and how is marketing different today than it was 10 years ago?
Well, I'm going to shock some people when I say this, because I believe traditional marketing is dead.
Okay.
Right. Traditional marketing, the old way. And what I mean by that is the old way, where you could run like one ad and catch fire and catch results.
Sure.
And have that scale up, scale out, and grow it over a prolonged period of time sustainably. I believe that that is history. So today it takes integrated marketing. And what I mean by that is it's using all of the tools. Now, number one, there's, of course, a big difference between image marketing and direct response. And so you've got, if you're going to be in this game, unless you're a billion-dollar company, learn and master direct response marketing. You know, Joe Polish is a great place to learn direct response marketing from. He talks about building an ELF model versus a HALF model, easy, lucrative, and fun versus half, hard, annoying, lame, sometimes lucrative, and frustrating, right? And direct response, what is direct response marketing? Direct response marketing is the ability to run an ad and get a measurable result that you can measure today and on an ongoing basis. So number one, it's incorporating direct response. Number two, it's then incorporating integrated pieces like social media. Right?
Yep.
Like other places. So it's the other part is, you know, we think we can throw a match at a log, Josh, and catch a fire. Whereas I believe today, the way I look at the integrated marketing with, you know, you run your ads, but you run them in multiple places. Right? So it's not just like Facebook. People fall in love with one channel.
Right.
So it's multi, what some people would call multiple channels. Just think of it as multiple legs on a chair, right? Or multiple wet pieces in a spider web. So how many different channels can you be, you know, marketing to or presenting to? And then how many other things can you incorporate for social proof, right?
Right.
The greatest testimonial, the greatest sales influence mechanism is social proof, people telling our story for us. So how do you incorporate that? Well, don't shy away from social media, but use it to add, it's like icing on top of a cake if you do it right. So you have your direct marketing mechanism with social media laid on top, like Facebook, right? Like LinkedIn, like, you know, all the other platforms. And depending on when you're listening or hearing this, many of those things could be obsolete by the time you hear it, but it'll be the new thing that comes out. But direct marketing is it, there's a difference between tactics, Josh, as you know,
sure,
and principles, right? People fall in love with tactics, like that new fad today, you know, the conversion strategy of this thing or that thing.
Right.
And I want to challenge people to really think about the bigger picture of using true principle-based direct response marketing in their, in what they do in their business. So that's why I think traditional marketing is dead. It's not a one-time thing, throwing a match at a log. It's about, you know, getting a piece of paper, lighting that piece of paper, right? Now you got a little fire going, you put some branches on it, you got kindling going. Now you put your log on it. Now you can have a fire that'll last for days and days, if not a week or so.
No, that's awesome. And I think, like you said, a lot of people get, they do get stuck in those certain channels, or they, you know, focus just in one area, or like, hey, this ad's working great, and then they don't tend to develop more around that and, you know, build off of that. And then they wonder what happens, you know, in a month or, you know, several weeks or a month when it starts to drop down, you know, in the amount of people that that ad is pulling in and stuff. So I know we got a few more minutes. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what's one device that you can't live without?
Well, one device I can't live without. Well, I'm going to go old school on you here. I'm going to say three devices.
All right.
I can't just do one. A pen, my handy dandy notebook,
awesome,
where I keep all my to-dos in here. So I keep all my to-dos in the front part of it.
Cool.
And then I, every conversation that I have is layered in the notebook that I can keep track of.
Awesome.
Right? Now there's technology today. You can scan this stuff, load it up,
sure,
and, you know, different things like Evernote, and then it's, you know, all keyword research based, which is great. So for me, that's one, and then the other is Audible.
Okay.
You know, I like listening more than I like reading.
Right.
And then when I hear like great wisdom, I like to go get the book, and then I'll tear out the couple pages, and I have those couple pages to go on, which I actually had one of those pages sitting here with the referencing the book Triggers.
Yeah. That's awesome. I've never torn out the pages. I usually have the Audible and the book, and then like I'll highlight or underline as I'm listening and reading on 2X or something speed. So.
And then I've got a couple apps that I like Headspace, which is great for meditation. Mm-hmm. Guided meditation for me works really well. I know everybody has their preference. That's one. Another one is the Fitbit. I love the Fitbit app, you know, to be able to measure my heart rate and all those different cool things. And it's, you know, keeps me on track for my fitness too. So those are a handful, personally and professionally.
Awesome. And tell me a little about, you know, what is Genius Network? And then we'll wrap up here.
Awesome. Well, short version, Genius Network. John, I know you're a member, right,
of
Genius
Yes.
Network.
Yep.
You know, it's a place where high-achieving entrepreneurs like you, and we have about 250 current active members in the group, come together to connect, to collaborate, to contribute overall. And what that does is it creates opportunities, joint ventures, strategic partnerships. You know, there's access to some of the best wisdom thought leaders in the world. You know, people like Dan Sullivan and Robin Sharma, Cameron Harold, Dean Graziosi, J.J. Verd, many of the people you've interviewed on your shows over time. And they come together to be able to, you know, be in a safe place. You know, our bigger vision with Genius Network, as you know, Josh, is to reduce suffering for entrepreneurs. So Joe's created a really safe place to allow people to, you know, come in and talk about not only what's working, but also what's not working. Because the not-to-do list is far more important than the to-do list, right? And it's about identifying those gold coins versus the silver coins versus the bronze coins overall. And one elegant idea is worth more than 1,000 semi-good ideas. So, you know, we're able to help people install elegant ideas, help them get to that next level in their business.
Awesome. And then just what's one action step you'd like to leave everybody with before we go?
One action step. Keep listening to your show, number one.
Thanks.
If I were going to add a few others, as you can tell, I'm an entrepreneur. I can't stay within the lines. I definitely don't color in there. But number two, you know, try incorporating the five questions we brought up earlier, right?
Yes.
What am I grateful for? What am I happy about? What have I done well? What do I, what mistakes did I make? And what did I learn from it? And then answer the separate three questions of what do I really want?
Yes.
Who am I? And what do I stand for? And I think those can be a great foundational basis overall. And then re-listen to this show because there's probably at least a nugget or two otherwise.
Definitely, yeah. This one's one you want to keep rewinding and listening to for sure. Well, Dan, I really appreciate you being on the show today. Where can people go to get more information about you, or if you want them to go check out Genius Network, just let us know.
Yeah, how about Genius Network? We have our annual event. We open up this community, Josh, as you know, one time a year. So geniusnetworkevents.com. So geniusnetworkevents.com, you can get the information on that depending on when you're viewing or listening. And then if you want to check out my show, you can go to growthtofreedom.com as well.
Cool. Awesome, Dan. Well, again, it was an honor to have you on Making Bank today, and appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks, Josh.
I am Josh Felber, and you're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.